Then there were four. Our semi-finalists confirmed after another dramatic evening of knockout football. A wonderful away performance from Arsenal means La Remontada wasn't to be for Real Madrid. A four-goal thriller at San Siro saw Inter cling on against Bayern. And suddenly, 36 of Europe's finest has become our quartet of Arsenal, Paris, Inter and Barcelona after another magnificent night in the UEFA Champions League. Welcome along, I'm Ben Haynes. After a brilliant night of UEFA Champions League football, the quarterfinals come to a close. So our confirmed quarterfinal second leg results, Real Madrid 1, Arsenal 2, which means that Arsenal win it 5-1 on aggregate. So much work done in that first leg in North London. Inter drew 2-2 with Bayern, so Inter go through 4-3 on aggregate. What a second half we had at San Siro. Our confirmed semi-final matchups: Paris against Arsenal, Barcelona v Inter. Former Tottenham captain Jenna Scalacci is alongside me, as well as commentators Mike Sewell and Chris Parrott. Jenna, what a night of Champions League football tonight.
Yeah, unbelievable. I think it offered everything we expected it to be, and I think the game we were covering, we saw a great professional performance from Arsenal, who I thought out of possession defensively were excellent.
We'll discuss both of tonight's results in depth, but Mike, just to start with the game at the Bernabeu, it was set up so wonderfully. Real Madrid had to come out on attack. Arsenal knew exactly what they had to do, and it meant that we got this end-to-end football that we love to watch in the Champions League.
Yeah, there was so much expectation on the part of the Real Madrid fans that they could achieve this comeback, but a lot of people were forgetting the fact that Arsenal have played so well in London. They're very good defensively, and they just got everything right over the two legs, Arsenal. And the only foot they put wrong was when William Saliba slipped up to allow Vinicius Junior to score. Other than that, it was an exceptional display.
We then saw at San Siro as well a game that looked like it was going to be potentially decided by one moment burst into life in the second half for his Parrott.
And a brilliant tie, let alone the second leg. Inter going through, they're so savvy. They're so resolute defensively, but we know how good they are going forward as well. And Bayern, I think, will look back over the two legs and think we didn't do that much wrong. But those are the fine, fine margins, right, when you get to the last eight of the Champions League. And Inter, serious contenders again to go all the way.
More from the guys shortly, but first, let's just focus on Madrid for a while, where Los Blancos were looking to overturn a three-goal deficit against Arsenal. Jenna was watching this one alongside Mike.
We have a VAR check. It was Marino, wasn't it? Went down under a challenge from Asensio. Referee has watched it. He's come back out, and he has given Arsenal a penalty. Saka does a little jiggle and left-footed. It's saved by Courtois. Saka went for placement, not power, and he's been punished by the goalkeeper. Rice holds it up. Odegaard maybe looked for a shot, then Marino plays it through. Saka! 1-0 Arsenal! The Real Madrid defence completely static. The Arsenal fans high in the Santiago Bernabeu are high on jubilation because they are now ever closer to a place in the semi-finals of the UEFA Champions League.
They still haven't really had any of those clear-cut chances.
They might have one now, and they've taken it, and it's Real Madrid's number seven. Vinicius Junior has capitalised on an error in the Arsenal defence, and literally within 90 seconds of falling further behind in this tie, they've scored. And Gabriel Martinelli's got the pace to outrun Fran Garcia. He's up against Courtois, and that is the cherry on the cake for Arsenal. They've won at the Santiago Bernabeu again, and they've comprehensively massively knocked out the Champions League holders, Real Madrid. Gabriel Martinelli makes it Real Madrid 1, Arsenal 2, 5-1 on aggregate.
What a wonderful performance from Arsenal away in Madrid, and a fantastic performance from Declan Rice, a second consecutive player of the match trophy for him. He's been speaking pitchside.
Look, I think it's just such a special night for this club. It's a historic night for this club. We have an objective in this competition. We want to play the best teams and we want to win this competition. And there was a lot of talk coming here about them coming back because they've done it so many times before, but we had so much belief and confidence from that first leg that we had enough to come here and win the game, and not just win the game. We knew we was going to suffer, but we knew we was going to win. And we had it in our mind and then we done it in real life. So what a night for the club.
I think it'd be fair to say, Jenna, when people look back at Arsenal's journey in the Champions League, whatever they achieve, if they look at these two legs, it will be impossible to ignore the performances of Declan Rice.
Yeah, I mean, he's been unbelievable both games. I felt like he grows with every touch of the ball. You can see his shoulders are back, and you know, right from the off, he's flying into challenges. He's in control in that midfield area, not giving anything up. And for me, I think what's most impressive is that work rate off the ball, the ability to sniff out the danger, and then once he's got the possession, just to keep calm and pick a pass rather than lashing at it. You know, everything was controlled and confident. He's got just an aura, seems to have around him. And, you know, he thoroughly deserves that trophy again tonight. It's just two unreal performances, just in and out of possession.
It was fascinating to see tonight, Mike, that, I mean, we were listening to the goals there. Jenna nailed it absolutely perfectly. She said they just haven't had a clear-cut opportunity. It took for Arsenal to make an error to allow Real Madrid back into the game.
Yeah, and it was just that they found it incredibly hard to break them down during the course of the game. We saw in the first half, after that frenetic period when we had the penalty saved and then the penalty that Real Madrid had won and then was overturned, they didn't get to take it. They had a lot of possession, they got forward a lot, but they couldn't find a way through. The Arsenal defence is so well organised, so well structured, they're so disciplined and they work so hard that it's just very hard for teams to break them down. And most teams struggle against Arsenal, not just Real Madrid. Most teams struggle to score against Arsenal. And what's interesting is that they've done what they did 19 years ago. They've beaten Real Madrid on aggregate, they've won at the Santiago Bernabeu. And that year, they got to the final, where they lost to Barcelona. And who's in the other semi-final? Barcelona.
A couple of small tasks in front of the first yeah. Those two semi-final legs. But we should be celebrating William Saliba. It feels cruel that he's the one that's made an error tonight that stopped Arsenal getting a clean sheet, because defensively, he was magnificent.
Yeah, he was fantastic. He's the real leader that kind of dictates all across that back line. It's unfortunate for him. I think he's just lost his bearings a bit. His body position wasn't open enough to receive the ball there. And it just shows, you know, you switch off for 1 second in a game like tonight and you get punished. I think luckily for Saliba there, his team had done enough that didn't cost him tonight. But yeah, unfortunate. I might have jinxed him there with my comments straight before it. But no, I think other than that error there, it's part and parcel of being a defender.
And do you know what? I think maybe the most impressive thing, and we heard from Declan Rice there talking about the belief they had, was that this kind of defensive structure that I think, Mike, you mentioned it lots of times about how difficult they are to break down in the English Premier League, and yes, against some very good teams in the Champions League, but now they've done it against the holders and the Bernabeu, against Mbappe and Vinicius and Bellingham. You wonder what that must do to the confidence and self-belief of this group going into the semi-finals, right? That they have been able to put in a structurally defensive display, tactically so spot on from Mikel Arteta, in arguably the hardest place in world football to do so.
And Chris, I mean, watching the games last night, Arsenal now will no doubt not be fazed by the threat that Paris will pose with the amount of pace and aggression that they have going forward in the final third. They've just overcome the champions.
I think it's a fantastic tie. You could argue, and Inter may disagree actually, we can get onto them in a moment, but in terms of out of possession teams in European football, particularly after tonight, I mean, Arsenal are in the conversation to be the best, and then we've seen what Paris Saint-Germain can do with the ball. That's a seriously interesting tie. Plus, we have Mikel Arteta going against his former club. It's set up beautifully. But I really admire this group. Not many before last season had played in the Champions League. Well, Arsenal were away from the competition for a long period of time. So to reach the semi-finals by seeing off the 15-time winners, I don't think you can give them enough credit, frankly.
So much to get into on those semi-finals that promised to be incredibly exciting. I just want to pick out a couple more individual performances within that Arsenal side, Mike. I think we have to talk about Bukayo Saka. What strength of character he showed tonight to miss a penalty at a crucial moment and then find himself with a massive chance that he took with such wonderful technique.
If you look back, we go back a few years now, back to 2021, the Euro final where he missed a penalty. I mean, his response to that has been excellent. And so missing tonight, well, he's done it in a final, in a penalty shootout, so he can recover from that. And he did recover, and he didn't show any signs that he was affected by... Obviously, he was disappointed he didn't score the penalty, and it wasn't the best of penalties, although Courtois adjusted his body quite well. But as you say, to come back and then finish the way he did... I mean, the Marino pass was perfection. In terms of the weight of the pass, but the way he just clipped it over Courtois to score the goal. He's just growing better and better by the season, Bukayo Saka.
Yeah, and I think he's done a lot of unselfish work out there. There's many times where he was the outlet, where his team were under a lot of pressure and they're clearing the ball and he's holding it up and he's drawing in those fouls, you know, off the ball work for him as well. And hold-up play was excellent tonight. And just giving his team that opportunity to get a little bit higher up the pitch, being clever when he's recognising he's up the pitch on his own. What can he do? Draw in a foul, get his team up the pitch and run that clock down a little bit.
And I just want to pick up on one more. Mikel Merino, that people a few weeks ago, a couple of months back maybe, would never have even thought about the fact that he would be in a position where he'd be playing such a crucial role going forward for Arsenal. Two assists tonight, two sensational passes in that final third.
Yeah, and he scored in the first leg as well. He's been, and of course he can play as a false number nine if needed. He does such a good job for Arsenal that he's a little bit of an unsung hero in many respects. And like you say, when he came in, it was no fanfare, but he does the job. And I guess for him on a personal level, going back to his home country and beating Real Madrid is a big plus. There's not really, apart from the mistake for the goal, there's nothing you can criticise Arsenal for. They didn't get anything wrong. They got it all right.
Exactly what you need in a tie like that. And they now will play Paris in the semi-finals. We'll discuss that in a little bit more detail later on in the show.
UEFA Champions League Match Day Live with you, wherever you go. With audio commentary, real-time stats and much, much more, get the complete experience and download the official Champions League app today.
To Italy next, where Inter headed to San Siro with a 2-1 first leg lead against Bayern. Chris Parrott, watch this one.
Headed away only as far as Goretzka. Goretzka picks out Kane in the penalty area. Right-hand side of it, up against Di Marco. Gets his shot away. It's brilliant from Harry Kane. A 35th goal of the season. And it's absolutely crucial. It's 1-0 Bayern on the night. We're level on aggregates. Sensational from Harry Kane. Mkhitaryan leaves this corner. Di Marco swings it in, left-footed. It hits Lautaro Martinez and comes back to the Inter captain, who lashes it home. Bayern weren't ahead for long. Lautaro Martinez fires home and San Siro erupts. Unerring finish from Lautaro Martinez. Mkhitaryan with this corner. Inter chasing another goal. Swings it in, free header. What a turnaround from the Nerazzurri. And it's Dyer's header, and it loops over the goalkeeper and into the back of the net. And from the corner, the German side are back in it. What a second half. 2-2, and this tie is not done yet. Two titans slugged it out to the very last second.
It's finished 2-2 on the night. It is Inter who go through 4-3 on aggregate.
What a wonderful tie. It had absolutely everything. And let's bring in our commentator for this evening on this game, Chris Parrott. Chris, it was such a joy to watch tonight because you got the full array of knockout football. You got the chaos of the goals, but you also had that wily nous that comes with a side like Inter, knowing how to just get over the line against some incredible attacking talent in Bayern.
It was phenomenal in the end as Bayern pushed for the goal, which would have forced extra time. They brought on all the attackers they could. They had Serge Gnabry playing at right back. He came on initially left wing. And then you had Inter, who had conceded 3 goals all season in the Champions League. And I think with Arsenal, actually, certainly in discussion to be the kind of the best defensive unit in European football. And they were blocking everything they could. Kingsley Coman had a shot, I think, with literally the last kick, which went just over the bar. I mean, it really did go to the last second, and it was hard on Bayern. They didn't do much wrong over the two legs, but Inter showing again this nous they have, how savvy they are, and remember that they're aiming for a second final in 3 seasons with lots of the same players that helped them reach that showpiece 2 years ago, and I think that experience was crucial at the end as well.
It was the reaction, wasn't it, that made it for them tonight. They go a goal down,
yep,
to a Harry Kane finish, really smart finish. And you're thinking at that moment, potentially the pendulum swings. But 6 minutes later, they've got themselves back into the game. It's just that nous, isn't it, that they have. They know how to grind out a result.
I think it's also the will to win. There was a quote before the game from Henrik Mkhitaryan, I think, which was really telling. He said, "This may be the last chance for some of us to play in a semi-final or a final. The coach has spent 4 years creating this team. And perhaps in that moment, for some of those who are in the twilight of their career, including Mkhitaryan, maybe they realised, do you know what? We have to step this up. Otherwise, this might be our final chance." And the way they roared back, and for me, the moment of the night, and I imagine the picture in all the Italian papers, and maybe one of the images of this season's Champions League, is after Martinez thumped it home, he hopped over the advertising hoardings and onto this little step up, and he stood there with his arms aloft, surrounded by his adoring Inter fans. And it was an image which I think will stick. His 150th Inter goal. He's the first non-Italian to reach that level of goals in an Inter shirt. We're talking about a modern-day legend, who would simply love to lift the Champions League at the end of next month in Munich. But he's a great player, as we know. But that image of unity with his arms out was probably the enduring image of the night, ultimately, because they went through.
Real leadership in that moment, wasn't it? And such an iconic image. To just find himself a yard in the box, to get that goal and then run and celebrate in front of the fans the way he did, it was really special. Last night on Matchday Live, Kevin Hatchard was talking about Inter having what they need to go the distance in this competition. Did we see that again tonight, Chris? Did we see them displaying all of the different facets and qualities and traits that are desired in order to go the distance?
Yeah, I think that would be fair. I think the way they defend and how they really put their bodies on the line, I think they probably then deserve that, you know, slight slice of luck that the ball didn't bounce to a Bayern forward. And it might have done because, you know, Harry Kane's goal was excellent. Eric Dier's header gave them real hope. And after that, it was a tidal wave of attack. And Jan Sommer made a save. They made another block. But you kind of think, do you know what? They earn those moments because they defend with such structure, but also diligence. And then when it gets to a stage where it's a bit of a free-for-all with so many attackers on the pitch, you would love them to be your defenders of the team that you support, because you know they're going to do everything in their power to stop that ball going into the back of their net. And ultimately, it saw them through. Only just, but you know, this was a great tie between two teams who have won it multiple times, met in a final in 2010, and it didn't disappoint. It felt like that at the end. It felt like two massive footballing institutions simply desperate to reach the semi-finals, and ultimately it was Inter who prevailed.
And we spoke a little bit earlier on about how much of a part that atmosphere was going to play. The way that the Inter fans were roaring blocks and saves, it was really fascinating to see, wasn't it?
It was. I mean, it was. There was some great Italian defending. We have to say that. You know, I know it's a cliche, but they were celebrating those blocks, saves, tackles, like a goal, really. It was a real bear pit of an atmosphere. You almost wanted, from a neutral point of view, you thought, you know what, I could take 30 minutes more of this if Bayern score. They weren't quite able to do it. And for them, of course, hoping for a home final next month, they exit at the quarterfinal stage. But for Inter, again, this group of players, I think in the starting 11, 9 of them featured in that final when they ran Manchester City very, very close 2 years ago. They're back in the semi-finals, and they're not a team I don't think that anybody fancies facing, not in Italy now, and not in Europe at the moment.
Not to be then for Bayern Munich. Let's get some reaction on their side of this one and hear from Harry Kane.
Obviously hard now, just coming off the pitch after giving everything to win the game. I think over the two legs, you know, we had enough opportunities in their box to score more goals, and also tonight to concede two set pieces was criminal. The way we played, a high risk, the man for man, and then to concede two set pieces is hard to take. So yeah, I mean, over the two legs, you know, Inter took more moments than we did. You know, we come awfully close even towards the end there, we was pushing, but yeah, these big games were about moments, and they took more than us.
Chris, a fair reaction from Harry Kane there, that they had the moments, they just didn't take them?
Yeah, I think so. And they'll look back to the first leg in Munich as well, when they had more chances than Inter. They levelled it up late through Thomas Müller with 5 minutes left, and then they had a chance to win it at home. And then Inter broke, and Frattesi scored on 88 minutes. And again, it was a little bit like that tonight. Bayern with more dominance, but ultimately the more clinical team were Inter, and that was enough. Very honest from Harry Kane, who was looking up to the Bayern fans quite mournfully at the end. He did his bit. Fantastic goal. And what we should say as well is with Thomas Müller leaving Bayern at the end of this season, ultimately we've said goodbye to a Champions League great, really, tonight. Müller joining Leo Messi this evening, third on the all-time appearance list. Of course, he's lifted the trophy. But we're not going to see him back in the Champions League, not in a Bayern shirt anyway. And his kind of dream, that fairy tale finish of a home final and maybe even lifting the trophy, won't come to fruition. But a player that in a Bayern shirt has been simply magical to watch over the last 15 or so years.
Not to be then for Thomas Müller, and not to be for Bayern. Inter will play Barcelona in the semi-finals. A reminder that UEFA Matchday Live is back on air from 8:45 CEST on Tuesday, 29th of April, as the semi-finals get underway. And these are the four teams that will be competing for a spot in the final in Munich.
Out to the right-hand side now to Dembélé. Dembélé plays it infield. Nuno Mendes! Scores again!
And here's Rafinha, the early ball to Lamine Yamal. He's in on goal! He scores! Another devastating counter.
Inter chasing another goal, swings it in, free header! And it's the former Bayern player, Benjamin Pavard!
Gabriel Martinelli's got the pace here, he's up against Courtois, and that is the cherry on the cake for Arsenal. They've won, and they've comprehensively knocked out the Champions League holders, Real Madrid.
So it's Arsenal against Paris, first leg of that one in London, and Barcelona against Inter. And it's actually the first knockout stage meeting between these two since 2010, when they met in the semi-finals.
And it's played wide now to Samuel Eto'o, and maybe here they are getting overrun. It's Schneider, and it's headed in by Melito, who was onside, and Inter lead by 3-1. And from a goal down, suddenly Inter are in control, and the defending champions are on the ropes. It's Inter 3, Barcelona 1.
Inter famously winning that first leg 3-1 and holding on in the second leg to prevail 3-2 on aggregate and advance to the final, which they'd win against Bayern. So a huge tie coming up. And Chris, if we just take a look into that one, a real clash of styles. Inter once again will be incredibly difficult to break down. Barca, on the other hand, so much wonderful attacking talent.
Yeah, I think it will be quite similar actually to these two legs against Bayern in the way that the two teams set up. Last meeting, October 2022, finished 3-3. So if that's anything to go by, it should be pretty good. As we heard there, that commentary from 2010 when Inter prevailed and went on to lift the trophy the last time they won it. I think it's going to be fascinating to see how that front three of Lamine Yamal, Robert Lewandowski and Rafinha, who have been, sensational. Their numbers are ridiculous in terms of goals and assists. You could make a case for that perhaps being the best attacking front three in Europe, up against definitely the best defence in the Champions League this season, not just in terms of the back three, but the way that the Inter set up. And it won't be as simple as that, obviously, but that is going to be a brilliant battle to watch and see how tactically Barcelona try and unpick this Inter defence.
What do you reckon, Mike? Who comes through in that one?
It's so difficult, isn't it, when you've got someone like Robert Lewandowski playing for Barcelona, Lamine Yamal. I don't know. I think I'd probably go for Inter because they managed to get past Bayern tonight. If you're going to press me, I'd say Inter.
Be a lovely clash of styles, won't it, Jenna? You'll see the way that Inter will approach it, probably very similarly to the way they did tonight. Lots of counter-attacking football, but also defensively so resolute. And on the flip side of that, Barcelona just so free-flowing, as we saw in the league phase.
Yeah, absolutely. But I think, they'll know tonight that they do have the defence, the capability in defence to hold off a side like Barcelona. So I think I have to agree with Mike. I'd go Inter if I had to choose now.
I guess that leaves me to say Barcelona, right? I really don't think you can really split it. I know Mike had to give an answer, but I think it's going to be really fascinating. Denzel Dumfries was out tonight for Inter in terms of kind of first choice right wing back. Let's see if he's available. Of course, it's the great thing about this stage of the Champions League is that we're straight into it, right? We've got 1 week off and then the semi-finals start. So I think it's going to be breathless, those two games, actually. The atmosphere in both stadiums will be electric. I think it's 10 years since Barca last won it, which seems amazing. It's flown by. This is a great opportunity for them, but they won't relish coming up against Inter. I imagine, of all the teams in Europe, maybe Inter not the team that you want to face over two legs, because they are so resolute defensively. And as we've seen time and time again, that front two of Marcus Thuram and Lautaro Martinez, even if they don't see much of the ball, can score a goal. And if they score against you, it's going to be so difficult to get back at them.
Going to be an incredible tactical battle in that first semi-final. The other semi-final is Arsenal versus Paris. Now, it's the first time that these sides will meet in the knockout stage of the Champions League. Both, of course, aiming to win the competition for the first time. But they did meet in this season's league phase.
As the ball is delivered all the way through, and it's gone in! Well, they've deceived the goalkeeper. It was Saka's free kick bending in towards the goal. Five Arsenal players running across the front of the goalkeeper. No one got a touch. The goalkeeper didn't keep it out. It's a bit of a freak goal. Whatever it is, it's an Arsenal goal. It's Arsenal 2, Paris Saint-Germain 0.
I wonder how much, Jenna, they'll be able to take from that result. Having a little bit of knowledge of how they managed to get past Paris in the league phase and whether it will carry over to knockout football.
Yeah, I think they'll take the learnings from that game in the group stages for sure. But I think, that seems like a long time ago now, and it's a semi-final of a Champions League. So they'll take the confidence and they've beaten Real Madrid now. They've seen what happened last night. I think they'll go into that feeling very confident. I think defensively, they've managed to shut out some of the best strikers in the world over the last 2 weeks. And now it's up to PSG to try and break them down.
I'm really interested as well to see how Paris Saint-Germain go about this, because if you remember back in January, they were one of the kind of elite clubs who were actually in danger of dropping out of the league phase altogether and not making it through. Then they had that second half comeback against Manchester City, thumped Stuttgart, And really from them, you know, they scored 10 goals against Brest over two legs. They knocked Liverpool out. Now they locked Aston Villa out. So can they make it three English teams in a row? I mean, that would be something else from the French champions who have won the title. So if they have any tired bodies, then they can potentially rotate them over the next couple of weeks before that first leg in London. I think it's going to be, this is going to be high octane. Two brilliant atmospheres. I think it's a great semi-final.
You'd imagine, Mike, there'll be two things for Mikel Arteta to focus on as he looks ahead to this one. One, just how well Arsenal performed away from home against Real Madrid. But two, how open PSG ended up being at times against Aston Villa. There will be opportunities for them.
Yeah, and I wonder whether, it's often said, isn't it, that you benefit from having the second leg at home. Well, it's shown tonight doesn't really make much difference to Arsenal, because they could quite easily get themselves in a really good position going to Paris and then do what they did tonight and get something in Paris. But you've got two teams there that have both suffered in finals. They've both lost finals. It's the only chance they've had to win the trophy. So there's a lot at stake as clubs to try and get to the final. You've also got Luis Enrique, who's been there before and done it, whereas Mikel Arteta, of those four managers, is the least experienced at this sort of level. And there is one particular thing that might be a little bit of a frustration on the part of Mikel Arteta, is that he's not going to have Thomas Partey in the centre of that midfield. Now, I don't know whether Jorginho will be in a position to play or not. He's got a rib injury at the moment. Whether Marino would drop back in to central midfield. But he doesn't... Like, we talk about Declan Rice, we talk about Martin Odegaard in their attacking sense. But Partey's just there, sweeping up behind them all the time, just working his way across, putting in the challenges, putting in the blocks. They are going to miss him for that first leg.
Yeah, particularly against, I think, Mike, that incredible Paris midfield, kind of all diminutive, all brilliantly technically. He'll certainly be someone who will be missed. I think it's a great point you made as well about Arsenal and Paris Saint-Germain are two global names, massive fan bases across the world, but neither, of course, have won the ultimate prize in club football in the European game. And for one of them, whoever goes through, it's going to be a chance of a lifetime. And I wonder what added pressure that will bring. The other semi-final, of course, they've won it loads of times. It's just another nice little narrative, I think, going into this last four encounter.
Two massive semi-finals on the horizon then. Let's just run through those quarter-final results one more time. Paris beat Aston Villa 5-4 on aggregate. Barcelona beat Dortmund 5-3 on aggregate on Tuesday evening. And then Wednesday's results. Arsenal run out 5-1 winners against Real Madrid on aggregate. Inter beat Bayern 4-3 on aggregate. Which means that our confirmed semi-final matchups, Paris versus Arsenal and Barcelona v Inter, just before we wrap up. Let's hear from Arsenal boss Mikel Arteta.
One of the best nights in my football career, for sure, and a really special one. I mean, we played against the team with the biggest history. That has been an inspiration, I think, for all of us in this competition, and to be able to win the tie in the manner that we've done it, I think we have to be very proud of ourselves.
So many incredible moments this evening, but I'll get you to pick out one. Mike, you can go first. What was your moment of the night tonight?
I think the Martinelli goal at the end just summed it up, and Arsenal winning at the Santiago Bernabeu. I know in a way it didn't matter across the tie, but to win there again, I think it just topped it off for them.
Jenna?
Mine would be the Saka goal. I think the lovely little dink over the goalkeeper after obviously missing the penalty early on.
Chris?
For me, I'm an absolute... I absolutely love club anthems on big nights, and the rendition of Amala Pazza Inter after full time, one of those kind of moments you think, I'd love to be an Inter fan singing along to that. It looks so fun, sung with such passion at San Siro, an iconic stadium, and they're back in the semi-finals.
Wonderful stuff. Jenna, Chris and Mike, thank you very much for your company this evening. Another cracking night in the UEFA Champions League. Don't forget, you can download the official UEFA Champions League podcast shortly after every match night of this season's competition. Matchday Live will be back on air from 8:45 p.m. CEST on Tuesday the 29th of April with coverage of the UEFA Champions League semi-finals. But for now, from me, Ben Haynes, and the rest of the Matchday Live team, it's goodbye.
You've been listening to the official UEFA Champions League podcast.